Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes.
Hi, everybody. It's CPA Trendlines, Richard Rothstein from Rothstein Consulting for CPA Trendlines again. This week, we're going to be doing something a little bit differently as we talk about recruiting. My guest today, Ed Gaddis of Parabellum Systems, doesn't own an accounting firm. He's not a managing partner, but he is an expert in the world of recruiting, and he's done some really awesome things, and he really keeps his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the recruiting world, even in the accounting, in the accounting sector as well. So he's going to kind of tell us a little bit about some trends that are going on globally, what his experience looks like, just for you to get a little different taste of what the world looks like. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Ed. Did I get the name of your company right there?
Yes, Parabellum Systems. Yeah. Thank you, Richard. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And you want to tell us a little bit kind of about you, your experience and, what you've done kind of in the world of accounting?
Yeah, sure. So I have a pretty diverse, recruiting experience. I've been pretty blessed in that regard. I've done recruiting for everything from, intelligence recruiting for the three-letter agencies here in the DC area, to being a delivery manager for large outsourced staffing projects for financial institutions, and everything in between. Run the gamut. I've done IT recruiting, and now I manage and own and have founded Parabellum Systems, which is an HR and recruiting consulting firm, trying to help out where I can fill those gaps that I see in the industry.
Well, that's great. More of that, please, because definitely it needs your expert touch more than what's out there sometimes. Kind of back up, let's rewind about a year now. Wow, that's weird to say. How were you handling recruiting and kind of, or some global trends you're seeing and, how are you seeing that? And how are you seeing that in accounting?
Well, so any good answer is always going to start with, it depends. So it depends on the levels and what you were looking for and also by the various industries. So a lot of it was by the book, if you will. So when you were looking for entry-level positions, like I mentioned, the large outsourced staffing projects that I was the delivery manager for, that's pretty much the standard stuff, which hasn't really changed from pre-COVID to post-COVID. So that is calling a lot of the entry-level candidates. Obviously, the candidate market is always pyramid-shaped. So there's always going to be more entry-level people in your financial analysts, junior accountants, accounting coordinators, those sort of roles. So reaching out to them, finding them on the job boards, finding them at the career fairs, the college fairs. That's what happened before. A lot of those fairs are going digital. Those job boards haven't gone anywhere. And people will still answer their phones during the pandemic, even more so. There's been a very big trend line in being able to catch people and not have to do it in odd hours, which is what our recruiting industry is known for. So, those 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. calls, those 7 a.m. calls before people get to work. In the senior levels, though, before, that was almost exclusively recruiting, especially in the accounting and financial services world, almost completely by networking. So I had a coworker who replaced a CFO at a Fortune 500 government contractor, and it took him almost a year. And that was completely just because of a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend heard about that role, and she felt like she'd be a good fit. And that part's completely different, almost gone in the industry nowadays.
Okay. So, that's a great thing to ask, what has changed there then?
Yeah. And as those niche roles become harder to fill, there has been a definite sort of gap in the capabilities and in also what firms can deliver. Whenever you have those most critical people, maybe it's someone who understands a very niche financial system. Maybe it's someone like a CFO. That's horrible to lose. And it would be a lot harder to do. You can't have those business lunches. You can't have those, right before work sort of coffees with your network, with your people, with those face-to-face. And it becomes a little bit awkward or cumbersome to try to do a Zoom call to catch up with people just for very obvious recruiting aspects, so it's hard to fill those more niche roles, and those have a bigger effect on companies and the industry as a whole. So when you take away that face-to-face, I mean, there's CFO roundtables. You and I have gone to networking events before. Those are gone, and you can't really chat someone up after a very wonderful presentation about a topic, as you're standing there in the crowd next to them. That doesn't exist anymore, which is where a lot of business, at least at the higher tiers, at the top of the pyramid, happened before.
That's interesting. So networking was a big thing before for those high ticket values. Now it's a lot harder, you're saying, because you don't really have those networking opportunities.
Yeah.
Most of the digital events don't have a great networking piece anymore.
No. And if there was something I could improve, that would be a number one item, a kind of a talk amongst yourselves period, or some sort of way to kind of crack that nut, so to speak, exchanging of contact information or something. Because that was a huge draw for those networking events, those CFO roundtables, those industry specific things that recruiters like myself and professionals like yourself would attend.
Oh yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, so, was there anything in particular you were doing before COVID to make your job openings that you were filling more competitive?
Before, I would say it was a lot tougher, oddly enough. So that's the different aspect of it. When you're trying to recruit for those lower level roles, it almost becomes a matter of how hard you hustle, for just to be blunt. Because if there's, I'm just making up numbers, 100 entry level financial analysts that want a job, if you honestly and openly tell them about the job opportunity, it's going to fit for the right person. Some number, it's just pure math. Some number of people are going to find that job to be a perfect first step for their career. So you didn't really have to worry about competitiveness as much. A lot of managers made those mistakes of, well, we got to pay more in the starting salary than anyone else. Or I worked for a firm that, we've got to cover 100% of everyone's benefits. While I wasn't going to complain about that, and they were in charge of the finances, it wasn't as big of a draw as you would think it is, and the job descriptions, you can't sometimes control the systems or the software that certain companies are working with, but you can always call more people and be honest about the situation and the opportunity with as many people as possible as you can during a day. Since COVID, throw into that mix, mandatory working from home, safety, and just culture kind of becomes more important with these firms. Uh-huh. And digital and culture while sitting on your couch working, that becomes more important. I don't think I'll ever be able to tell an accountant or a software developer that, they have to come into the office 9 to 5 Monday through Friday anymore.
Right.
But I also was never able to tell an intelligence analyst that they could work from home. They've always had to go into a secure facility. Mm-hmm. So competitiveness has actually changed since COVID. It's kind of become more open, So.
That's interesting. Has work from home, is that one of the things that's changed quite a bit?
Yeah. Everyone sees that it's possible now. So I've had certain clients say, why are we getting delivery faster? This is incredible. Why are we meeting our targets, our trend lines? All these expectations are happening quicker. The team is doing great. I can answer why they're doing great, because they don't have to fight an hour in traffic. They can turn their computer on at 8 and now they're an hour early for work, depending on what their industry is, and so on and so forth. They can take a break and not be judged and go, deal with their kids for a minute. So there's that work-life balance that's actually, the proof's in the pudding. People are delivering faster. They're happier with their jobs, usually across the board. And I, hopefully, when things end, I expect to see that transition back into a new normal, as everyone is saying that catchphrase. Uh-huh. I expect a lot of pushback on, mandatory 9 to 5 in the office sort of environments.
Yeah. How do you feel like that's affected, longevity and retention? You mentioned culture of being, remote, and that's something that, people are seeing a shift in, and how do I deal with culture? What kind of shifts are you seeing there?
Yeah, and It's a great question. And again, every great answer should start with "it depends." So there's that adage in the recruiting world and in the HR world in general, people don't quit jobs, they quit managers. And a manager is a huge portion of a culture. So a lot of managers were not equipped when this first started to manage a remote workforce. There were a lot of jokes with the clients that I worked with about managers not trusting their employees unless they saw them typing away and looking at spreadsheets, and they had to grow and mature as people. And that's a personal journey you can't control as a recruiter, as an employee, as HR. So I do think that will affect things moving forward. And in terms of culture and in terms of people staying, that also depends. So it depends honestly on the industry, not the level of the job. But for instance, if you have your person who is doing more of an operational accounting, month end, year end, taxes perhaps, they can stay there as long as they're happy with said culture. And if they feel like they have room to grow, go from accounting coordinator to AR, AP, those sort of tasks to maybe, all the way up to management. If you are, for instance, working on a project, maybe you're shifting accounting systems, or I've done a lot of staffing for places which were bringing government agencies into new accounting systems. You're only there for a short period of time, regardless of your level. A lot of times you'll have someone there that starts knowing that they're at the beginning of the project. And by about the middle of that, let's say it's a 5-year project, it's going to switch over to operations and maintenance. And it might not be interesting flat out. There might not be room for growth, or, they're just kind of double checking their work after that accounting migration. So the culture, regardless, they're going to leave, So that all plays, a lot plays into retention. People think it's just salary benefits, and people joke that it's a manager, but a lot plays into retention. It's various different factors. And every company has their own kind of trend line in way that they operate that they should be happy with or, need improvement.
Yeah, well, cool. That's a great answer to that. Very insightful. Where do you feel like, we've talked a little bit about this, but where do you think the recruiting industry and where do you expect things to look different a year from now? I mean, not necessarily different, but I mean, do you think things are going to bounce back to what normal was? Do you think it's, something totally different somewhere in between?
I think it's going to be something totally different. No, that's a good question. And everyone says new normal, but I think a lot of people just put that in as a catchphrase or a pleasantry sort of thing. I don't think things will, like you said, ever go back to the way they were before. Like I said, unless it's, I'm talking to an intelligence analyst that needs to be in a cleared facility, for cybersecurity purposes, I don't think I'll ever be able to tell a single candidate that they need to be on site 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. I also expect that will completely blow out of the water market salary trends, because there's cost savings when you eliminate people's commutes. They're having to put money into their commute. Even things like, DC has a horrible public transit system, but a lot of that by many places is offset. The company will put in money to mitigate your commute or pay for exorbitant parking prices in the middle of the city. Those sort of negotiating chips, if you will, out the window if you start expecting your staff to work from home more often. The last place that I worked at before I started Parabellum, they actually realized those cost savings before the pandemic. We had an office building, and they realized they could put twice as many people in if they had mandatory hot seating, So I only worked there. I had to not work there in the office, Tuesday, Wednesday, because someone else was sitting in my seat Tuesday, Wednesday, and those were their mandatory days in the office. And there's cost savings to that, So I think a lot more companies are going to get hip to that. And that will then have a kind of ripple effect on salaries, commute, public transit, negotiating, offers, all that sort of stuff.
Do you think that they might shift to, if firms before were offsetting people's commuting costs, maybe now might they offset somebody's like home office costs? I mean, does that make
feasibly.
Sense?
Yeah, feasibly. And if you're in sales positions, sometimes places send you the company laptop, the company phone, and the company car. there could be a lot of that for, other sort of industries, other sort of positions, absolutely. That could be another new negotiating chip that we're not predicting now, but a year from now it could be normal.
So thank you so much, Ed. That's really, really thoughtful. Finally, kind of what advice do you have for specifically, let's go specific on accounting firms now that are looking to hire?
Yeah. I always think the answer, especially within recruiting, is honesty. I mean, we're dealing with people's livelihoods here. And especially with those entry-level positions, you know, when you're trying to hire, you know, a person fresh out of maybe their MBA or, you know, fresh out of, you know, their econ degree, this is their first job, you know, and how you can grow them, what those opportunities are, they're not necessarily going to want the world. So you might not have to fight with them over salary or benefits or things like that, but they want to know that they're going to be happy in their first big step. Same thing with the different side of that coin for those senior positions. I would not expect a single CPA to join a firm without the answer of what is their role? How is it clearly defined? What will they cover? Who will they be mentoring? You know, what are those problems? I think honesty and transparency are going to be super important. A lot of managers, like I said in the beginning, make that mistake of, oh, we've got to pull the levers with salary. We've got to pull the levers with benefits. No, you have to talk to enough people and you have to be honest about what your firm can offer. And from there, the chips will fall where they fall.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to chat with me today, Ed. You know, it's been really, really helpful and insightful. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.